After 25 years in corporate, I'm currently taking time off work to reflect, reinvent, and rejuvenate. This sabbatical was 10 years in the making, after deciding that I didn't want to go through another brutal company restructure. I'm pursuing my own interests and experimenting with how I want to spend my time into the future. Welcome to the new series of Unchanged podcasts. In the next couple of episodes, I'll be talking to people who have taken breaks from work for various reasons. I want to understand why they did it, what they did in their breaks, and what they learned from the experience. Today in the studio, I have Ntse Singh, who studied with me a couple of years ago. Welcome in the studio, Ntse Singh.
Thank you, Petra.
Could you please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you're doing at the moment?
My name is Ntse Singh Lepole. I'm currently home, waiting to start a job around October.
So you're currently on a break?
I'm currently on a break. It wasn't planned, this one. So my experience, I work with international NGOs, and the last NGO that I worked with, the project closed at the end of March. So I've been home since then, and I sent an offer with another international NGO, but the project will only start in October.
And have you taken a break before, or was this the first time you've taken a break?
I have taken a break before. That was way back in December 2014, so my break was in 2015.
Why did you take that break?
It was health reasons. So from 2013, I was diagnosed with a very hyperactive thyroid. Between 2013 and 2014, it wouldn't respond to medication. I went through a lot in terms of being hospitalized regularly. And then there was a scare of cancer as well on the thyroid. And around that time, there was also a brutal restructuring, as you said earlier, at our organization. And everyone literally had to apply for their jobs. And going into the operation, my doctors had already warned me that after the operation, I need to manage my stress levels so that they can get me into the right dosage for my medication. So it was that, and also looking at the restructuring, I had about 5 or 6 jobs that I could have applied for, but I imagined going for one interview and being told you're not successful, and then another and another and another. So after the operation was in October, and the restructuring happened around that same time. So after the operation, then I decided to take the package, voluntary package, and just take a break. Initially, I had thought that maybe after 3 months, I will start looking for a job. But 2015, I had also planned to study the Master's in Development Finance with UCT. Once I started with my master's, I then realized that I actually do need a break. So I was on break for almost a year, 10, 11 months. While I was studying, and I started looking for a job on the 9th month or so. And then I was lucky to get the first one that I went for an interview for. But yeah, that was the reason why.
So initially it was health reasons, but also a bit of studying as well.
Yes. So the studying was already planned before we went into restructuring. But when restructuring came through, then I was like, let me just focus on my studying. I had saved money for my fees and everything. So I thought, let me just then take a break.
And how did your friends and family react to you wanting to take a break?
I got a lot of questions about, are you sure you want to do this? What are you going to do? It's risky. You know, are you sure you don't want to have a job? There won't be medical aid. There won't be provident fund. What are you going to do? And yeah, my answer to them was, you know, I believe my health, it's more important. And I'm just going to take the advice from my doctors. and I'm going to study. I have savings for my studies, and I think I will have enough money to continue to pay for the medical aid. So, everyone was shocked, afraid for me. What's going to happen if I don't find a job when I want to go back to the job market? But I was fortunate that within a month or 2 months of looking, then I got a job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how did you prepare yourself for leaving? Because you sort of have to go through a process of leaving your company. I think I went through the same thing when I knew I was going to take a package. Mm-hmm. When the restructuring started, I knew, because I'd already decided 10 years ago I was going to do this. So I had a bit of time to prepare, and people were also very, very shocked when I left. They were like, "But you're the poster child for the company. How can you want to leave?" But you have to sort of prepare yourself for the letting go of that job. So how did you prepare yourself for that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think at first I had to deal with my operation and going into a major operation, not knowing whether I have cancer or not, that took over. And for that period, I didn't think of anything else except, is there going to be cancer or not? And in 2013, I had lost my aunt to cancer. So it was still like the scale of cancer, the reality of cancer was still like very new for me. And I'd also lost my cousin who was, in fact, my cousin I lost in 2014 in December. She had leukemia and had her treatment at the Donald Gordon Hospital as well. So with her, I had a very rough experience of cancer because I was at the hospital every single day. I saw what she went through. In November, my concern was just my health. And years we went through meetings with my boss and the other leadership team. And I remember the first meeting after I came back from my operation, they had already started with the initial meetings with all the other staff. And when I came back, then they had a meeting with me. And from that meeting, I made it very clear to them that I'm going to take the package for health reasons. I explained to them what my doctor said, and they did accept that. So when the results eventually came back and there was no cancer, reality hit it then on the other side, that you're leaving work, what's going to happen? I remember I actually had applied for one position and I was called for an interview. And I went for that interview and I was like, if I get this job, maybe I should just take it or not. But something just kept telling me that you need the break. So after the interview, even before they came back with the results, I actually wrote an email to them and I told them, you know, I am taking a break, so please rule me out for this position.
It's amazing how your priorities change with a life-changing event like that. I mean, all of a sudden, everything comes into sharp focus. This is what's most important right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And yes. it just happens automatically. It's like you have a guardian whispering in your ear all the time that, remember, you need to do this. And so I left. I was supposed to leave the organization at the end of November, but they negotiated with me to stay another week for ensuring proper handover. So I left at the end of the first week of December. And going home, it was December, so everyone is in December mood. And then January came, and January I was finalizing my application document with the Graduate School of Business, and I started in February, and I think I just somehow smoothly just blended into the new environment that I was going into, and the studies helped a lot because then I was busy with something. I felt that there's something keeping me busy rather than now saying I'm recovering. What do I now do with my life while I'm recovering? So the studies really helped a lot.
Yeah. It's interesting that you say you applied for a position and in the interview, you already know in your head, in your heart, I don't really want this job. It was the same for me. I could have applied for so many jobs that I could have potentially would have got.
Mm.
But then I went, but then I'm going to end up working.
Exactly.
I'm going to end up doing something that I don't necessarily want to be doing. And I don't want to be spending my time like that.
Mm.
So it was really this like this tug of war, trying to not get sucked into the drama of the restructure.
Mm.
And everybody's applying and it's like this frantic energy.
Yes.
And everybody's like, why aren't you applying for anything?
Mm.
And I'm like, because I actually don't want any of these jobs.
Yeah.
I actually don't want to continue living like this.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I think for me, with that job that I applied for after the interview, I actually had to go back to my journey with the thyroid. It was so bad that at one point, I begged my doctor to remove it. The thing had totally taken over my life. The fatigue, the headaches. I was just not in control of my body. I would be okay during the week, and on the weekend, it's Sunday, I'm going to work the following day, and I have these terrible chest pains. I end up being hospitalized. I would wake up Monday morning, and I would already be looking forward to Saturday, and I'll tell myself, when Saturday comes, I'm going to sleep the whole day, and that's literally what I will do, and that is not normal for me. So after that interview, I was taken back to that journey. And I remembered what my doctor said, and I was like, if I force and I go back into the job market and find a job, my life might actually be worse than when I was dealing with the thyroid. So I'm not prepared to go through that.
Yeah. So your plan for your break was to focus on your health and to get your studies done. So
yeah.
Those two. So that was the plan for the year. And is that, did the plan work out? Did it all work out according to plan?
It did. It did. I started with my master's, and very fortunate for me, for my health, I saw from the beginning the benefit of just letting go and managing the stress, because from the first dosage that my doctors put me on, it just stayed like that. They didn't have to change it after that. My body just accepted that, if I may say that. And I continued on that same dosage for months until I went back in the job market. When I found a job, the stress started building up. And that's when I saw that every 4 months, so every 4 to 6 months, then I will do bloods. And then my doctors will come back and say, your thyroid is hyperactive again. Your thyroid is hypo. Now they have to constantly change my dosage. So, yeah, it actually happened like that. And I also, little did I know, that I will need to do another operation in July, which then was very good that I did this operation, and I needed 6 weeks to recover. And I was just at home and I focused on myself.
Mm. It's amazing how it's almost like your body has to tell you that you need a break.
Yes.
And then you listen to it.
Exactly.
Okay? I'm very fascinated to learn from people. How do we learn the warning signals up front so that you don't push yourself into that state of almost breaking point before you take the break? So are you much more aware of your body telling you you need to take a break now?
I am, and I think it's mainly due to the process I went through with my thyroid. So when my body starts giving in, I feel it and I know. It's actually funny because I went through this the past 2 weeks. Today, my personal trainer, when I got to the gym, was like, you are totally different. You are a different sensation today. Last week, you were just a zombie. And I could feel it. And there was a project that I was working on, and I had very tight deadlines that I had to do over 190 pages in less than a week. And I didn't sleep, and my body took that in. And because I am on medication, on chronic medication, my body will tell me that very quickly, it will feel like if I don't take my thyroid medication for 3-4 days, I can feel the fatigue starting to kick in. And I become very forgetful and all of that. That's exactly what I felt with this project. The fatigue started kicking in. I became very forgetful. And something that never used to happen through my thyroid years is that I've lately noticed that I don't sleep well. I've never had a problem with sleeping. So I don't know whether it's something new kicking in because I'm getting older or what, but no matter how tired I am, no matter how stressed I am, I would always sleep throughout the night and I don't even wake up to go to the ladies at night. But nowadays I realize that sometimes I get into bed and I don't sleep within 5 minutes of getting to bed. It will take me about hours to do that. It's a new experience that I don't like at all, but yeah.
Something new to deal with and to figure out how to listen to your body.
Absolutely.
And so you took the break, and what did you learn from the whole experience? What did you learn about yourself?
You know, I am a risk averse person. And I was very proud of myself that I made that decision and I took the risk of not having a regular income coming in every month. Yes, I had savings and I had the payout from the package that I took. But I actually learned that sometimes it's important to make decisions that are right for you. And when those decisions are right for you, you will know, because there's a nagging thing within you that keeps telling you that you're making the right decision. But what we normally, well, in my case, what I will normally dwell on is I'm also an overthinker. So I will overthink. I will think of the risks. What if I don't find a job when I go back to the job market? Yes, I do have enough money to stay home for this month, but I can also use that money for something else, you know? And looking back, the one thing that I do not regret, I think when I went back to the job market, I used to look at how much money I spent during that period to cover the expenses. And I would be like, maybe I should have stayed, you know, I would still have this money. But I look back now and I'm like, you know, it went to expenses. It's okay that it went to expenses. It didn't go to something big that I wanted to do, a holiday or buy a new car or whatever, which will still have been expenses. But yeah.
If you think back to that period, is there anything you would have done more of?
I think more reading. I would have done that. And I immediately got back into my studies and was consumed by that. I wish I could have created more time to just read books, you know. I didn't do that. I think my second operation as well took its toll on me. And I was still at the risk of another cancer. So there was a lot that I was dealing with then. But I wish I could have read more and explored nature more. I love nature. I love being around nature. But I wish I could have taken more walks. There's a farm like 10 minutes drive from my house. But when I got sick with the thyroid, I stopped going for the park runs at the farm. And I feel that at the period that I was at home, I could have taken more advantage of that. Even during the day, just drive there, pack my car and take a 10-kilometer hike or 15-kilometer hike. I wish I could have done that more.
Yeah, it's amazing how nature rejuvenates us. You know, you just have to get a little bit back into nature. Listen to the bird song.
Exactly.
Walk around and it just lifts your spirits.
It just lifts your spirits.
What surprised you about the experience of taking a break?
Is that I actually, without realizing it, I had time for reflection. And I wouldn't say it's something that I did purposely, but I went back to my youth years and the years that I started working and thought a lot about the things that I used to enjoy doing. After that, I actually just wanted to go back into those things, like hiking. When I moved permanently to Joburg, I completely stopped hiking. And then I went back to hiking. I didn't go back immediately, but I eventually went back to hiking. I went back to reading. I went back to just getting into my car on Sundays and going for a drive, not knowing where I'm driving to. And those are the things that I used to love doing. Going back into work as well, I realized how fresh I was, and how then I would come up with all these fresh ideas. It was really, really very exciting.
For me, it's been a period of deep reflection, you know, really thinking about how I want to spend the rest of my time on the planet. Okay. And I think you need breaks like that. You need to really reflect. I mean, what did that introspection look like for you?
Like I say, it wasn't something that I really planned.
Mm-hmm.
But then as I look back, I realized that I did a lot of reflection. I came out of it saying I need to take care of myself more. Work is work. You can do whatever you can do, what you're able to do. But I also came to the realization that you can never, ever at work say you have finished something. There is always, always something. It's important that you get time to rest. Even if you haven't finished a project at work, just take a breather, do an introspection, reflect, and get back to it after you have rested. There is just no point in waking yourself to your death. And at the end of it, then you're feeling so fatigued, so tired, and you don't even have the time to do the things that you want to do that will make you come back refreshed. You are putting them aside. So having time for self, it's very important. In fact, last week I was watching something on Instagram, and the priest was saying, we put so much time on earthly things and wanting to do things and doing them right all the time. We never give ourselves time to rest. And by the time we get time to rest, it's too late. Our bodies have taken the toll, and you may recover, but your body will never fully recover. Mm. And he said, you know, God, when he created earth, he worked for 6 days and he rested for 1 day. Can we just practice that? If God could do that, why can we not do that? So tell yourself on Sundays, it's your rest day. You can work even on Saturdays. Yes, you do your personal stuff and everything, but have time to rest. Do not go for a month, 2 months without resting, and then you're complaining how tired you are.
Mm. It's like you're not going to be on your deathbed and wish you'd done more meetings. Exactly. Or more Teams calls.
Absolutely.
I don't think you're going to wish you'd done more of that.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
So you, after your break and focusing on your health and your studies, went back into the workplace. So did you go into a similar kind of job, or did you do something completely different?
It was still in the NGO sector. It was something a bit different because my previous job, I was at the global office. And with this job, it was the country level office. It was still an international NGO for a new project that they were starting. But what I also found was that with this new job, there wasn't really much to do. I put systems in place. I developed policies and everything to make sure that the project runs smoothly. And once I was done with that, I found myself like, I'm used to being busy. This is not busy. Most of the work was done by HQ in New York. Even the financial reports, all that I needed to do was send them an extraction of the TB and the reconciliations, and they will do the reports. And besides feeling that I was being de-skilled, I also felt I have too much time on my hands. And I actually stayed in that organization for 6 months. I left because I didn't feel busy enough. And I moved to another organization. Oh my God, didn't I get busy? And that's where then my thyroid started acting up again, because it was in Pretoria. I live in Joburg. It was so busy that at times I would leave work at 10 p.m., driving back to Joburg. What do you do when you get home at 11 p.m.? All you need to do is shower, get into bed, and go to work the following day. And that's where I understood what my doctors meant when they said I need to manage my stress levels, because I started getting sick.
Mm-hmm.
And my doctor kept saying to me, there is absolutely nothing I can do for you until you start managing your stress levels.
Mm-hmm.
I can give you all the medication I can, but if you don't manage your stress levels, there's nothing that I can do for you. And the moment that I managed that stress, I got another job and moved back to Joburg. I was weighing over 100 kgs. My feet were swollen all the time. My iron deficiency was bad. Magnesium, calcium, every time I did bloods, everything was just low. And my thyroid was either hyper or hypo. When I moved back to Joburg, the job I got was normal hours, hardly ever working overtime. And I started finding time to go to the gym. I started going back to walking and hiking here and there. And by the end of, that was in 2019, by the end of that year, I had lost so much weight. Overall, I lost more than 20 kgs from what I was weighing. And then I started seeing my health improving again. And I was also eating healthy. I've never been a diet person going on diets. I was just eating healthy. And everyone complimented me. I started glowing. My skin went back to the smooth skin that it used to be, and I've never turned back. I started running in 2019 for the first time ever in my life. I don't do marathons, but I run like 3.5 to 5 Ks every day. And I've gone back to hiking. It's just amazing.
My next question would have been around if the reason for taking the break was your health, how you're maintaining it now. But it seems like you've got a grip on it now. Okay?
I have a grip on it now after losing it, going back to work. And I totally lost it there. It was bad. It was bad. But when I actually took control of it, everything just fell into place. And, you know, there were things, simple things like taking sugar out of my diet, happened not because I intentionally did that. I remember when I stopped taking sugar, I was in the US and, I was there for 3 weeks, and, one of my colleagues, every morning when she came in, she would bring, coffee for me. And that day she came into the office that I was working in, and she gave me coffee, and she's like, I forgot to bring sugar for you. And I said, no, it's fine. I'm just going to finish this report. I'll go to the kitchen and get the sachets. And as I was working, I started drinking the coffee. Before I knew it, it was done. And I was like, so I can finish a cup of coffee without sugar. And from that day, I stopped taking sugar. And that's how it just happened. So sometimes it's just things that will happen by mistake, but they are the right decisions you're making for your health.
Yeah. Do you think you'll take a sabbatical again?
I would love to. I would love to.
And what would you do differently? Hopefully it's for a different reason.
It will just be to have time to myself.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I was on my bucket list was the Camino walk. I'd wanted to do that when I turned 40, but when I turned 40, that's when I was diagnosed with a thyroid condition. last year I turned 50. They say a lady never tells their age.
I'm proud of my age.
I am.
I made it to half a century.
Exactly. So I turned 50 last year, and I thought I'm gonna go for the Camino. I went, and it was just 4 or 5 days. It was beautiful. I used that time for reflection. It was also bittersweet because I had just lost my mother. In fact, I was supposed to go in June, and I lost my mother at the end of May, on the 31st of May. And we buried her on the 10th of June. I was supposed to have traveled on the 9th of June, so I had to postpone, and I traveled in August. And that was the best decision that I made. One, I realized when I started doing the walk that I had not mourned my mother. And that week that I spent walking, that was the week that I mourned my mother. And I came back and I was like, I need to do the full Camino. So my next break, it's going to be doing the full Camino.
Yeah, it's interesting. You said you did a lot of reflection in those 5 days that you were there. Because I think if you take a conscious sabbatical or conscious break from your career, that sabbatical mindset of reflection, mm-hmm. focusing on yourself, thinking about your future, I think it's important that you bring those lessons into, if you re-enter the workplace again afterwards, to bring those lessons with you. And I think you sort of learned it by trial and error. You sort of went back and then went back to the old way and then went, okay, hold on, I've actually learned some stuff. I should actually apply the stuff that I've learned. Mm-hmm. So how are you trying to keep that sabbatical mindset in your everyday life?
You know, I have created a routine on things like meditation, journaling, things that after our executive MBA program, I'm sure all of us, we thought, this is how we're going to do our lives. But along the way, they fall off. You get home in the evening, you're tired, and you're like, no, I can skip a day without journaling. And then it becomes 2 days. Before you know it, you have stopped. And I went through that. And when I went to, so I did my Camino in Spain. When I went to Spain, I told myself, I'm going to spend that whole week journaling my everyday experience of my walk every day. And I created a theme for each day. And I did that, and I did meditation, and I came back and I consciously told myself, I'm not gonna stop. I actually ended up buying so many journals. I have a journal for my spiritual life. I have a journal for work. I have a journal for my normal day. And then I have a journal that has mostly where you can color in and all of that. So either way, between the 4 or the 5 journals that I have to at least once a day journal on any of them, something that happens. And I realized that it becomes easier if you become conscious throughout the day on things that happen around you. Then in the evening, you're looking forward to actually then say, I remember this happened. I'm going to write about it. Oh, it's spiritual because I felt God was talking to me. Then I go to my spiritual journal and I write about that. Oh, I met this very nice stranger and this person said this to me, you know, and then you go to your gratitude journal or whatever. So I have found that it's best or it's better to not just go through the day and just be swallowed up in the things that are happening, but become conscious of things that are happening. Taking a pause at times, and if you are stuck at work with a report that you are doing, just take a pause, go to the bathroom, look at yourself in the mirror, and just say to yourself, I'm still good enough.
So is there anything else you'd like to talk about that we haven't spoken about yet in this conversation?
You know, seeing that I took my break for health reasons, I would say it's very important for people that as you are taking care of all your other aspects of life, take care of your health aspect of life as well. It's very important. Those annual checkups are important. I didn't know that I had a thyroid until my aunt that I said had a cancer passed on. She passed on in April 2013. And then around June, I went to my GP and I said to my GP, I've told you about the history of cancer in my family. I've just lost my aunt to cancer. And at that time, I was suffering from lots of migraines for years. I had even gone to the headache clinic and I didn't get help. My gynae had suggested that I put the Mirena loop, and I'm one person, I don't want anything foreign in my body, and I refused. But my migraines were hormonal. They will come at the end of my periods. And when my aunt passed on, her cancer was called RNB for short. I can't pronounce the full name, but it was on the nerves next to the brain. And that's when I went to my GP and asked my GP to refer me to a specialist. And he didn't hesitate. He referred me to a neurologist who then did the EEG, sent me for MRI, and they actually picked that I have lesions on my brain. That is my other risk cancer that I'm living with. And then this lady decided that she's going to admit me in hospital to investigate those lesions further. But then she's also going to invite a whole lot of specialists so that they can have a full check on my body. And that's how my thyroid was discovered. Had she not done that, had she admitted me in hospital and just invited a neurosurgeon, I wouldn't. Probably I would be dead. The thyroid would have killed me. So it's very important to manage your life holistically. Right now, even though, as I say, I'm at risk of cancer and cancers, I know which cancers I'm at risk of. And my doctors are on alert on those. They know the things that they need to check. I didn't know that acid reflux, if it goes untreated, it can cause stomach cancer, until I was under the hands of my doctors. So yeah, I would say it's important to take care of self and self holistically. So when you take those breaks, fit in a full body check during those breaks, that you are to make sure that health-wise you are still okay.
Thank you. I think I'll add it to my list of things to do in my break as well then.
Please do.
I will do. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us today, Ntse Singh. It was really
thank
lovely
to
talk to you.
Thank you for inviting me.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.